Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time. Today we're going to be talking about that they may be one. We're going to be looking at John chapter 17, where Jesus prays. You see the sequence. He prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. And he prays that they may be one, that we would be one with God, we would be one with Jesus, and we would be one with each other, that it would be complete unity. Just this idea of oneness. Think about this idea of communion, common union, having all things in common, that we would be unified, that we would be together in everything that we do. And receiving this from God, becoming one with God, and then using that equipping and empowering of becoming one with God to become one with the people around us, one with our spouses, with our kids, with our families, with our friends, that we will be unified together. So let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you're new to us here, the 30-day prayer challenge is the place to start. Our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, which says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." And that verse got me thinking, what's more valuable than money that I could pass on to my children, hopefully grandchildren one day? And the book of Proverbs says that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones and all these things that we typically seek after. And so I made it my goal to accumulate and to pass on lessons for every area of life. And out of everything we do, the first thing I would want to get established is this combination of the 30-day prayer challenge. It's about a 2-minute long prayer that I pray every day over myself, my family, all those connected to me. And we pray this prayer, and then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer. The other half of prayer, taking time to listen, to get still, to plan our day with God, and then go about our day executing the things that we know to do, trusting that God's right alongside of us. He's there with us in the present moment, helping us do the things that we know to do. And then combining this process with daily communion, because it says in Corinthians, to examine ourselves when we take communion. So the combining this process of prayer, the other half of prayer to examine ourselves and to stay on track, and combining that with daily communion time, I believe if you'll put these things together and you'll execute them consistently in your life, you'll see a major shift, and it will change the trajectory of your whole life going forward. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for all those watching or listening to this, all their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I just thank you that you are with us. We have this amazing opportunity to live a life that's one with you, to be unified with the people around us. We just thank you for that. And I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity and our ability to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but starting with the people right around us, that we will be one with them. And Father, we ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's just take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, and then we're going to talk about this prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17. So first of all, what were your wins over the last 24 hours, over the last day? What are the things that you got done, the things that you executed, the ways that you saw God showing up in your life, the steps forward that you took? It's good to look back and to gain some encouragement from those things, because a lot of times we can get frustrated or disappointed or just discouraged because we feel like we're not making progress fast enough. In those cases, learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord, to look back and say, look, man, look how far I have come. Look how far I've come. And then our next question, how are your levels of peace and joy? We're going to see Jesus prays here that our joy would be full, our joy would be complete. How is your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last day, over the last 24 hours? How was your emotional state? And remember, it's like a light switch. Either God's supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him were flowing or it was not. And it might be a case where it was flowing all day. If so, keep doing what you're doing. It might be a case where it was flowing good, but then something got me off track. Something distracted me. I couldn't sustain it. If that's the case, learning to keep staying fixed, our eyes on him, that he's with you, helping you, equipping you, empowering you in everything that you do. Getting, staying present in your day. Whenever we lose our focus and our emotional state shifts, getting our minds fixed back on him. Wait a minute, he's with me, he loves me, and love never fails. And getting more present in your day, because often we get dwelling on the past or thinking about the future, and that steals that present moment. And we lose our peace, we lose our joy. Next question, what do you know to do over the next 24 hours? Over the next day, what are the things that need to get done? The things that you know need to get done. It might be administrative things, errands you need to run, maybe something you've been procrastinating on for a while. What are the things that you know you need to get done? What are those little nudges you've had on the inside that keep popping up on the inside? You say, you know what? I know I need to do that, but you keep putting it off. How could you take a step forward in those things today? And then is there anything bigger that God's been stirring you to do? Maybe it's to write a piece of music. Maybe it's to write a book. Maybe it's to start a business. Maybe it's to start a ministry. Maybe it's to start a podcast. I don't know what it is. Create some piece of art or something like that to reach out to a certain person. Any of those stirrings that you have, let's start to pay attention to those. And when you get the green light that you know that it's time to go, start to take action on those things. A lot of times we put them off and we disqualify ourselves because we think we're not good enough. We're not capable enough. It can never happen for me. I don't have the time, the resources, the money. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too that. But the reality is, if God is prompting it, he will sustain it. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he can do through you. And he's there right with you to come alongside of you, like we talked about yesterday, and to do it with you. And where you are weak, he is strong. And those would be areas that he can show off through you. And our final question, God, what is the most important thing you're trying to teach me or to show me over the last 24 hours? What is the main thing you want me to get out of the last day? I always tell my kids, if a day went by and you didn't learn something, you were off track. We didn't grow. We didn't learn something. God is always trying to speak to us. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to train us. And if we will be tuned into him and listen and be teachable and coachable, he is so faithful to teach us and to train us. And he's trying to woo us to this spacious place, free from all restriction. But we've got to stay tuned into his voice and following his leading, because it's his voice that leads us out. I'm just thinking, yesterday I was listening to something, and it was talking about in the story of Abraham and Sarah, when God appears to Abraham and tells him that about this time next year, Sarah is going to have a son, and Isaac is going to be born. And Sarah laughs at it when it said, and the teaching I was, it was from a rabbi teaching on this from the Hebrew perspective. And he was talking about how Abraham saw God. God appeared to Abraham and God saw him. Sarah was behind and she was listening. And he was talking about how there is oftentimes a greater blessing that comes from hearing rather than seeing. Think about Jesus says, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. They've just heard. Increasing our hearing. It's his voice that leads us out. Blessed are those who believe when they haven't seen. So let's get into this. John chapter 17. I just woke up this morning. I've been really thinking about this idea lately of just oneness. This idea, we can be one with God, but then also taking that oneness, and how can you become more one, more unified with the people in our lives? How can we become more unified and living our life together and unified with the important people in our life, starting with our family? If you're married or have children or people that you're around every day, how can you get more unified with them? And I believe this starts from the inside, that as we get more unified with God, as we become more and more one with him, it creates this desire in us that oneness would flow out of us and we would become more one with the people around us. I was thinking about this. I saw this posted online somewhere, this picture of marriage where it had God at the top and had a husband, like had a triangle. So a husband in one corner, a wife in one corner, and God at the top. And how this, you know, a marriage is this union of the three together. It's this God created union. I don't know what to call it exactly. Of the three together. And the analogy I was looking at online is the people were talking about as the husband and wife grow closer to God, the husband and wife draw closer to God, they get closer together as well. But the further away they are from God, the further away they grow apart from each other. And I started thinking about this, but there's a problem. If a husband or a wife, one or the other, grows closer to God, it also increases the distance that they are away from each other as well. They might go closer to God, but they're further away from their spouse. And so I don't think that's what God wants. I think he wants all three of them to be unified together, all three of them to be one together. So if you're growing closer to God, let's say, and the people around you, could be a spouse, it could be coworkers, it could be whoever, those people around you are not, here's what I've learned you need to do. Go step into their world. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus came into we were separated from God. Jesus came into our world and reconciled us and brought us back to God. So rather than us growing closer to God and getting more separated from other people, that we would grow closer to God and then we would take God and we would pull him closer to the people around us and become more one with them. But think about this idea of communion, common union, being unified together. Think about our word communication, very similar word, communication. Increasing our communication is one of the ways we're going to increase this togetherness, this unifying. Increasing our communication is going to be one. Sharing meals together, like this communion time. Communion is sharing a meal together. Sharing meals together, communing together, bonding together. These are all very important things. Let's look at this prayer from John chapter 17. This is John chapter 17. We are, starting in verse 34. It says, Jesus prays for himself. So we're going to see a progression. Jesus prays for himself. He works from the inside out. Like we always talk about, Jesus works from the inside out. He prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. Then he prays for all believers. So it says, after Jesus had said this, he had just told them, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And Jesus says this, Father, he starts to pray, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So notice, what is Jesus's definition? Jesus says, now this is eternal life. Jesus says himself, this is eternal life, that they would know God and that they would know him. That's the definition of eternal life, that we would become one with him, that we would know him, that we'd have a personal relationship with him. That's eternal life. And we can have that right now. We can experience that right now. And we can be growing in that more and more from this day forward in our lives for eternity. I believe, and when we get to heaven, we're going to continue to learn and know God more and more and more and more and more ongoing for eternity. Jesus says, I've brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence, the glory that I had with you before the world began. So then it says, Jesus prays for his disciples. This is Jesus praying for his disciples now. He says, I revealed you. Jesus says, I revealed you, God, to those you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. So everything we have comes from God. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciples, you're going to do what I ask you to do. You're going to obey. If you love me, you'll obey me, obey what I ask you to do. This idea, if we're going to be disciples, it requires obedience. That's where we talk about, are you doing what you know to do? Not what other people know to do. Are you doing what you know to do? It says, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours. Jesus and God, this idea of togetherness. God and Jesus are one. All I have is yours. Everything I have came from you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Protect them by your name, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. Love always protects. God is love. Jesus is love. God, love always protects. I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. There is power in the name. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, talking about Judas, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, the disciples, may have the full measure of my joy in them. Notice, not their own joy, that they would have the full measure of Jesus's joy in them. I'm just thinking, the Bible talks about Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy. They would have the full measure of his anointing, of his joy in them. Jesus says, if you are in me, you're going to do what I did and even greater. He says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And then it says, Jesus prays for all believers. So he prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all believers. And he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for all of those who will believe in me through their message, through the disciples' message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He wants everybody to be one. This idea of oneness. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, so that the world knows that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This idea, this unity is going to tell the world, we'll read this again. The unity is going to tell the world that God sent Jesus. May they be brought to complete unity. Why? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When we're unified, it's going to tell the world that God sent Jesus and how much he loves us. That's what the message is going to say. When we are unified, when we're working together. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you. I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Notice, as we know God, we get to know his love. The more we know him, the more we know his love here. So this is a pretty powerful prayer. This is right before the very next chapter, the very next line right after this prayer says Jesus is arrested. This is right before Jesus goes to the cross. These are his almost final words as he's getting ready to go to the cross. This is what he prays for, that we would be one, that we would be in him, that God, Jesus, us, and all of us together would all be one. I think it starts from the inside out. We start by getting one with God, and then we take him with us, and we go get unified with the people around us. And what does it do? That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved Jesus. That's what this unifying does. But let's take communion over this. Like I said, communion, common union, becoming one with God, one with the people around you. How do we do that? Gentleness, humility, thinking others greater than yourself, connection with God, getting one with him, better communication, and just seeking to live a life that's unified and in unity with the people around you, with God and with people around you. Something we didn't talk on earlier. I think peace, whenever you feel that separation in relationships, there's often a lack of peace. If you're feeling a lack of peace, like we talked about before, examining and evaluating ourselves, oftentimes this lack of peace in relationships has to do with there's not unity. There's not this oneness happening. Jesus says that my joy would be in them. When there's not this peace and joy in relationships, it's this idea where we're not unified. When there's unity, there's peace, there's joy in our relationships. But Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bread and what it represents, that the body of Jesus was broken. It was separated apart. Think about this. His body was broken. It was broken. It was separated apart so that we could be one. We could be joined back together. That it was broken so that we could be one and joined back together. And Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, right after he prays this here, he's arrested and he's betrayed. And on that night, he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said this, take it. Receive this, that God is with you. He wants to be one with you. And he wants to help you get unified with the people around you as well. And every time we take communion, it's like an activation. We're bringing these, in this case, this prayer of Jesus and making it active and relevant in our lives right now at the present moment. And that from this point on, it's going to be a turning point. From this point on, we're going to live a life. We're going to activate this in our life. We're going to live a life that is one with God, where we're growing in our knowledge and unity with him more and more every day. And we're going to grow in our unity with the people around us every day. We're going to make that a goal in our life, that we walk in oneness and unity with the people around us, starting with the people closest. If you're married, start with your spouse, start with your kids, start with the people that are closest right around you, and make it a goal to walk as one with them. If that means you have to humble yourself, it's going to take grace, it's going to take forgiveness, it's going to take humility, it's going to take better communication, and just this desire to just do life together with God and with people. But if you have your bread, you can go ahead and take your bread here. Then after supper, the last supper, Jesus took the cup. Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. So as we take this cup today, reminder, the new covenant, we're going to live, we're going to activate this. We're going to live a life, a new life. Just talked about it yesterday. The angel appears to Peter and breaks Peter out of prison. He says, go teach everybody, tell everybody about this new way of life. Go tell everybody about this new life. This life of being one with God, one with Jesus, one with the people around you. And we're going to activate this. The moment we take this juice, it's active and alive, and we're going to walk in this in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup in Jesus' name. All right. Now, it's simply about walking it out. How do we do this? This is a big goal. It might be, look, all right, how do I walk this out? I think we do start with this. We just prayed over this. We just took communion over this. We activated it. We're giving it to God like you're setting the destination into a GPS. And now we're going to trust. We're going to stay plugged in and connected to him, listening for him, and follow his leading. He's going to show you how to do this. Put your hope, put your trust in him, and follow his leading. He's going to show you how to walk this out as you go. And keep your eyes fixed on him. Stay tuned in, listening for his voice. He's going to lead you. He's going to show you how to walk this out in your life if you'll stay plugged into him. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we've got a whole series of courses that we guide you through our whole program, step by step, with training for every area of life. You can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com to learn more about that there.